We're in a construction site here, so it's what it is. And the weather in Mendocino County is like this. That's the refrain that Agent Tomato uses so much, that it's like this. It's like this. This is what heat is like. Can't really do much about it. The very first time I came to Mendocino County, Ukiah, was in 1991. It was for Reverend Hung Lu's ordination.
Yeah.
I was a certifying acharya in his ordination. Ajahn Amaro was as well. And I had been living in Thailand, and at that point, for about 20 years or so, and had been invited by the City of 10,000 Buddhas to come to join an ordination ceremony. And I was quite excited to come because it was in, what was your ordination date? July. So July 1991, and around that time in Thailand, June, July, early July, it's sort of like hot, sticky, I was like, oh, I'm going to get out of the hot season and go to America. I had no idea.
3 days. Huh? It was 117 for 3 days. Yeah.
117 for 3 days. And of course, it wasn't as if it cooled down after that to some reasonable degree. It was incredibly hot. I'd never experienced anything like that. So that was my introduction to Ukiah. And so that this is... it's not quite that bad, but it, and as you can see, we are in a construction zone. So we've decided to have this ceremony because 20 years seems like a milestone that should be acknowledged. And although I was plugging for 25, thought maybe 25 years would be a more auspicious. But people were saying, no, we should really have a 20-year anniversary. People have been coming together. There's been a, as you can see, today, so many people have come from all over the country. Even there's people from, I just met somebody from New York who's come out for this. I saw Noah. There he is. has come from North Carolina for this, former board member. There's all sorts of people who've been helping and made this place come into being. So that's it's a wonderful thing to delight in and to see so many people come together and expressing their goodwill for the ongoing existence of Abhaya Giri. I think we'll need to check into the kitchen and see how close we're getting, but there was... there's quite a gang in there, and I don't want to start things without them. They put in all the work, and then we start without them. Ten more minutes. Okay. Okay, so 10 more minutes in the kitchen.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like we're getting a critical mass moving. And just as a reflection, recognizing that they say there's a lot of people here today, but of course the roots of what we're here for is the creation of a monastery, and but a monastery isn't the say the buildings or the land even, but it's the people. And I think the particularly the say Theravada tradition having a its roots in it being a mendicant tradition, then there's a very strong connection between the lay community and the monastic community. And our own teacher, Ajahn Chah, that was something that was quite striking as a, say, as an example, as a flavor of how he organized his monastery, taught the monks, nuns, the lay people. And for myself, I went to Ajahn Chah's monastery in 1974, early 1974. And I was already ordained as a monk because I'd been traveling in Asia and was in Thailand and interested in Buddhism, so I took a what I assumed to be a temporary ordination, four months max. Places to go, things to do. it was really striking for me going to Ajahn Chah's monastery. One was the that it was in the forest. It was very peaceful. The environment was very settling, he himself was a very charismatic person. That didn't hit me at first. It was a bit formidable, forbidding. My very first, went into the monastery, paid respects, bowed, and he just kind of looked at me and said, "You want to stay here? You have to stay at least 5 years." So it was, he's not, didn't have that warm and fuzzy edge. there was something about him that really drew me to him. But also what really struck me was the involvement of the lay community and then the structure of the monastic sangha. The monks and then there's and they were younger young people taking ordination, looking to live a monastic life. And then novices, or many young novices, boys, and then the nuns' community, which was quite separate, but it seemed to be a very, very strong presence. But then also the involvement of the lay community, and One of the things that it's a very much a foundation or kind of the structure of life at Ajahn Chah's monastery is the lunar observances once a week, having the meditation vigil, chanting meditation through the night, and you know, at that time I could hardly sit for an hour, so then to sit for a whole night but you sit there and you sort of see all the lay people just solid, and you think, I'm supposed to be a monk. I better get my act together. So that was really very inspiring, and just the involvement in both in terms of coming to listen to teachings, to meditate, to practice, chanting, but also coming and helping in the monastery. The monastery is an intrinsic part of the community. So that was something that I felt, after living in Thailand for 20 odd years and feeling that something I'd like to do, come somewhere and help create a monastery in the West. And Ajahn Amaro was already committed to starting something here in the West Coast. He'd been coming to San Francisco Bay Area, and I'd met people from the Sangapala Foundation in Thailand. Many occasions people had gone to Thailand and visited the monastery that I was the abbot of there. So I'm getting to know people and feeling, it seemed like a good group of people. And so that was, I can commit to that. And then also just that sense of bringing a traditional form of Buddhism to the West and to America. So that was the thinking behind my process of coming here. And then, but I had no idea it would turn into this. very gratified to see this happening, see the people who've plugged in, made connections over the years, and continue to maintain that connection. So that's something that's very very satisfying, very gratifying. And 20 years is sort of that went by quick. So that, who knows? I mean, I'm not sure how often we'll do anniversaries now. But that, I think it's putting roots down into the community here. So I think the kitchen is getting pretty close, and we could begin the occasion with just doing the chanting, have the Sangha chant the blessing chants, the paritas, which are protective and protective chants, blessings, things of recollecting the occasion the context of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha being our refuge, and the blessings that come when we draw close to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, draw close to the wholesome qualities that the Buddha pointed out as a means for freeing the heart from suffering. And so that we can, as we're chanting, just encourage everybody to just sit quietly, relax, allow the mind to be peaceful, to settle, and to just wishing everyone well, generating these thoughts of loving kindness and compassion for all beings.